the regular committee meeting for December 1st at 10 a.m., but let's go ahead and say it's 10:11 a.m. Welcome everybody, Rancho Marietta Community Service District. Item number one, call the meeting to order. Item number two, this will be a Zoom in coordinates with teleconference government code listed on the agenda. Item three, comments from public. Amelia, do you have any hands?
Yes, sir. John Sullivan.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, nice to have you join us.
Yeah, sorry. Jeez, I don't know if Christmas is going to be late for me as well. My gosh.
A lump of coal for you. Comment that I have is in regard to potentially maybe having a series of maybe community forums in regard to security so that a dialogue can get created that might lend itself to some solutions to where we are and where we're going. I know if you looked at Nextdoor, I don't know if you look at Nextdoor, but I did today for the first time in probably a month. It was just a continuous list of security comments. And I just think it's time to get all of the what ifs and possibilities out on the table in a, you know, in some type of community forum. I think it needs to probably be away from CSD's offices and away from RMA offices. I would offer the hotel as a potential place where we could get a couple hundred people or so to meet. But I feel like around when Christmas is over, it's going to become a focal point as you head toward the 23 budget. So that's my comment.
No, John, and thank you. I think that's very valid. I know just earlier this week in the ad hoc committee, working through our audits that we have to have and then just budget to actuals, we're getting closer by our midterm fiscal year review. We'll really know where the finances for security lie. And I think once we have that, and that could be a January-ish timeframe, then that'll really tell us what does the operational aspect of security look like. And then you're right, the what ifs, the community's spoken. With that, here are the staffing levels, if you will, for patrol services, here are the costs, and here's where we're at. So I think that's a great idea. Probably the only negative I would have is we have heard at the board level at absolute nauseam that the community's tired of being polled, asked for information about security, filling out surveys, those types of things. So I think as we work around that, maybe we get a better forum to move it forward. That might give us opportunities, understanding the challenges. We'll know what the budget is. And here it is, folks. Decisions have been made on behalf of the community by those that voted. And that's a direction that the board has. But I like that. I'm going to bring that forward to the full board and see where that's going to rest, whether it's communications committee or it stays with security or finance to kind of move that through, because at least it would give us an opportunity, us being CSD, and by then I should have a better handle on the camera proposal and the timelines and what that funding looks like and where that goes. So that all could be an educational opportunity for the community. Excuse me. Thank you.
I did bring that up at communication this morning.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Okay. No, and I think you're spot on with that, Mr. Sullivan. Thank you. Amelia, anybody else?
No, sir. I don't have any other hands raised.
Thank you. Moving on to item number four, security updates.
Very good. Okay, I have Kelly with me.
Here we go. Good morning. Can they hear us?
They can hear
yes.
us.
Yes, you're all set. Thank you, Kelly.
All right, we'll start with our operational updates. We currently have 8 full-time gate officers. We have 4 patrol officers, however, one of them is on leave. We currently still have 2 part-time gate officer positions. However, on Monday, I'm starting a gate officer part-time position person through the process, so hopefully that'll work out for us. We're currently using only 1 ABA contract officer for days off and vacation relief. Currently, patrol is not covered. We're at 434 hours in 2022, again, due to COVID. COVID issues, vacations, and no overtime allowed to fill patrol shifts. We're going to our safety center repairs. We've retained the 3 estimates, and we're in review with the contractors right now. I have a phone call tomorrow morning, and hopefully by the board meeting, we'll be able to give the board more direction of where we are with that process. As far as our patrol vehicles, we were looking to get a Toyota truck, it's a supply issue, and they don't have any, so we are on the list for that. Moving on to Rancho Marietta Association activities, I met with the Director of Compliance, Chris Smith, and some of the issues that we're working on jointly with their compliance officers. We're continuing to cite their new policy with boats. I think last month we did 3, and this month I think we added to that, but we're definitely on board with them, and our gate officers are stopping the boats on trailers, and so we're definitely supporting their new RMA policy with that. As far as the dash camera for stop signs, we have found they did give us a video security camera. We found it in plain sight, if you will, and we're starting to utilize that. So all of our stop sign violations will be captured on videotape. So when they have their compliance meeting, it makes it easier for their board to decide guilty, not guilty, fine, no fine. So we're working with that, using a camera for all of our stop sign violations. We continue to support the zero tolerance for dogs off leash policy. We've written some citations, and we continue to, again, help RMA with their off-leash policy, because they actually had a couple bites last month to citizens, and we are helping them with that. We want to mention a little bit about this goes back to Halloween. However, there was a social media post, and there was some information going around that there was a Halloween house, or makeshift Halloween house in the South, and that we cited these individuals for having a Halloween house, and there was a GoFundMe account created so they can pay for their fine. I wanted to say in a public format, we in no way, shape, or form cited anybody for a Halloween house from CSD and from RMA. So I just wanted to put that out there. People approached me and they asked me about that, but no, that's fake news, if you will. We did not do any citing at all on a Halloween
house. So Kelly, if I can stop you there. Sure. You mean to tell me something that was on social media was not correct?
Yes, sir. In this case, that's true.
Oh, okay, hang on. I got to make a note of it. All right, sorry. Continue on.
All right, very good, sir. All right. So, let's see. And moving on from that, let's go to where are we at? Right there. Did always. That's all I'm going to say about that at this point. One of the things I did meet with Kevin. Or I had a conversation with Kevin at RMA. He was he asked me my opinion on whether or not our officers should be state certified with our LIDAR that we use for speeding. And I informed him, we've all been trained by the person who sold us the equipment, and that we've been certified that way. However, we're not state certified. I told them it would be a good idea. They currently, I think Director Smith over there at compliance, he's a certified LIDAR instructor. And if we send him to school, and then that way he can become a instructor, if you will, And then he would be able to train all of us when we're state certified. Now, I understand that it's not required for an RMA and a private organization such as us to be state certified, but I told him it might be a good idea. It's good optics for the community. It's part of transparency. It adds a level of professionalism to our employees. And I was for it, actually. So that's one of the things that we talked about. And I don't see a reason why we couldn't support that and have his director train our people to be certified. We're using it every day, but you know, every now and then a citizen challenges that, hey, you guys aren't certified through the state. Why not? So
that was no, Kelly, I think that's brilliant. I think that if they get the certified instructor, and then we just put it on our annual training program, I think it builds the cooperation of the two organizations. And anytime we get additional training, education, I think it's a good thing. So thank you.
Okay. And before I go any further, I think, Travis, are you on the line, sir? We're going to talk about the security.
Yes, I am.
We're going to talk at this point. I'll turn it over to him for the security camera update. Once they are installed and put into our south gate, of course, the security will take over the training. We make sure our officers know how to use it, how to download it. But until that's done, it's kind of technical out of my realm. And Travis, though, has the expertise to brief you on our meeting a couple weeks ago. Travis?
Thank you. Good morning. A couple of weeks ago, I met with Alan Hale and some representatives from North State Electrical Contractors. And then also Jeff Pearson was there. I don't know if he was representing John Sullivan, but he was there basically just helping us out on some technical stuff from the last cameras that were set up. Tom Hennig entered into a contract with Ojo Technology to purchase two cameras that will be placed on the streets for security. One of the cameras is going to be placed on the corner of Oakville Lane, right there across from where the new Circle K is going to be. And the other camera is going to be on Legacy Lane, close to the corner of Legacy Lane and Marietta Drive. We North State Electrical ran the power for the cameras that were installed by the Mobile Village. So since they already knew what was going on, we asked them to give us a bid to run the electrical for these two new cameras. The camera that's going to be on Legacy Lane, there was already power to that from the previous installation, but they're going to have to run power to the pole that they're going to be installing the camera on Oakville Lane. They did give us a quote to install weatherproofing GFIs, and they're also going to tap into the PLC, the Tesco panel PLC that powers that area. We did get a quote for $3,560.66. So we will be getting we will be moving forward with that so they can run the power. Once the power is run, Ojo, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. They're in the process of ordering all the equipment, and once they have the equipment, they're going to install the two cameras, and then they're going to it's basically going to be over the internet, and so it's going to have to have IP numbers. And this, I'm not 100% sure, and John, you might know a little bit. I guess there's a hub at the hotel that all of this is going to be wired into. And I know they're putting repeaters on top of the hotel. And then they're going to be working with our IT department, Leap Ahead. They've already been talking to them about getting that all onto our network, and then that will be running to the Southgate, where they can monitor that. Once they're doing this on a turnkey, where they're taking care of everything until it gets to the point to where it needs to be on our network. I'm going to presume, but I could be wrong, I'm going to presume that the board is already aware of the camera contract, because it was signed on November 3rd of 2022 by Tom. If not, I have a copy of it that I can give to Michael and to give to whoever needs it.
We're good on that, Travis. Board is aware. It's been kind of a lengthy process, so we're good there. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So then what I'm doing is I'm doing the purchase order this morning. I just got the quote from North State, and I will be doing the purchase order this morning, running it through for approval, and sending it to them so they can do all the electrical work that they need.
Perfect. I would say, Travis, and thank you. The only thing, if we even know by the regular board meeting, is just an ETA on the installation. Otherwise, the board's more than aware of where it's at. This is just the first phase of the overhaul process. We're trying to go with the vendor that we've selected for cameras throughout the community. So perfect, that works for me. Thank you.
Yeah, and I will get a hold of Mr. Hale and see if he's got an ETA on when he's expecting that equipment in. And because I know that he did say that some things are going to take a little longer because, you know, things aren't just available on the shelf anymore. I should hopefully get a better ETA by then.
Perfect. That works for me. Thank you, Travis.
All right, sir. Any questions about that or anything?
No, I'm good. Thank you. Right.
Thank you, Travis. And then we go to our next slides.
Yes. We'll pause for comment after Kelly is done with his presentation. My favorite slide. I just wanted to.
Your favorite slide.
It is.
All right. As we go to our summary here, we see that we have, our stop sign violations have increased. We are taking that very seriously with the contractors coming in, the golf people play golf in their golf carts. We have a lot of kids in the morning at traffic, at bus stops. So we are putting extra emphasis in our stop signs. And as you can see, also, we're increasing our pet off leash. And once again, we're supporting RMA's policy with that. As we move down further, and not much difference here. It's pretty much the same.
And the difference here, I do have to note that this goes from the 1st to the 21st, because that's when I release the initial report. And then when the board meeting comes, we'll have it for the whole month.
That's correct.
So that's probably why this looks so low.
Yeah.
Same with this one.
Same with that. Yes, we won't have the entire month until our board meeting in a couple weeks.
Oh, and here I do have an updated report here, so I'm going to flip over. I will update the packet when we're done with the meeting.
Okay. Yep. Moving along.
There we go.
I think we're at our incident of notes. All right, incident of notes. I'll talk about this a little bit. I'll say something. Hey, this incident of note is a little embarrassing to CSD and security. However, I believe in transparency, training, and so we're going ahead and we put this in because we want to be transparent with the public. On Friday, November 11th, 2022, at approximately 22:45, CSD patrol was on routine patrol when the security officer observed a gathering in the plaza area. The officer believed it was a gathering of juveniles and parked his vehicle and walked over to the gathering. Upon his arrival, he discovered several adults celebrating the grand opening of a spa, day spa. The officer chatted with the owner's father for approximately 10 minutes and proceeded back to his awaiting vehicle. As the officer approached his vehicle, he observed that an unknown person had driven off with the security vehicle. The suspect had relocated the vehicle to another parking lot approximately 50 yards away. The officer approached the female suspect as she exited the vehicle and advised her she had no right to take the vehicle. The female began to scold the officer for leaving his vehicle running with the keys inside. The officer asked for her ID and she stated, quote, "You're not a cop," and was driven away in a waiting vehicle. The officer contacted the CHP with the license plate of the suspect's vehicle for a report. Good news is the vehicle was not damaged in any way. It wasn't taken on the highway. We have a very clear policy that says any security officer, anybody driving any of our security vehicles, if you get out of the vehicle, you are to turn it off, take the keys with you, roll up the windows and lock the doors. That's very clear. So I've again put that training out to everybody, and hopefully this won't be a further incident. But that was our big incident so far in November.
Thank you, Kelly. To that point specifically, when I first got on the board, a little over 4 years ago, or not quite 4 years ago, I guess, that was one of the issues I asked the then security supervisor, because it made no sense to me why they would leave the vehicle running and park in a disabled parking lot spot at the north gate, and ad nauseum to get that poor behavior stopped took quite a while. So I'm really lost for words on this. I'll leave it at that. You're right, it is embarrassing, but it is an opportunity to reinstill some of the fundamentals, expectations, and at the end of the day, the district policy. So I understand. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Mabee, I do have a few hands up if you're ready for.
Please.
I'm going to take them in the order that they were received. Richard Gears.
Hi. I have a follow-up question on that Halloween house problem that you refer to as misinformation. My understanding was that person put up their lights before Thanksgiving, which is a violation of the CCNRs, and they were told to take it down. Is that incorrect?
I'm not aware of the Halloween house that Kelly was talking about for that specifically, having Christmas decorations. So I'm not familiar with that.
Perhaps Kelly can answer the question.
He's
the one that referred to.
Is that
you? He can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm talking about the Halloween house makeshift one that was made up, no one's actual house. I wouldn't know what RMA did as far as citing people putting up their lights too soon. I'm talking about an actual haunted house makeshift of cardboards, plastic, those kind of things, not an actual person's house.
Okay, thank you. Just one other comment. You know, people complain a lot about misinformation on Nextdoor, and indeed there is quite a bit out there. My thought is that the correct response to misinformation is to put out correct information. I know, Tim, you don't like social media, but it works. We don't have too many ways of communicating around here, and that's one of them. Yes, indeed, there is a lot of misinformation, but I think overall it's definitely beneficial. And I think that the solution to misinformation is to put out correct information. And I think it's, in this community, it's more of a positive than a negative, that we need a lot more communication. And us residents don't have too many ways to do it. We can come to the CSD meetings and it's not there. So I think Nextdoor is a good thing here. End of comment.
No, thank you for the comment. I think there's validity in that. Part of the difficulty is, you know, Kelly clarified everything in the public format. Again, the spontaneity of a knee-jerk reaction, I think, is where the difficulty comes in. Because once all the facts are known, and Kelly's brought that to our attention numerous times on incidents that were knee-jerk reaction and what actually happened are two different things. And so there's a time diligence need that is required, especially when it comes to the security side of the house. But the comment of getting the right information out there, I think is spot on. For decades, governments functioned a certain way, whether it's still appropriate manner, that I can't tell you, but I understand your concern. So thank you. Amelia, do we have somebody else?
Yes, sir. Crystal Matter.
Sorry about that. The screen shifted really quickly. I wanted to make sure that I heard a couple things correctly. So first, I thought I heard year to date, no patrol or unfilled patrol shifts at 434 hours, which I'm not very good at math, but I'm assuming that's about 39 hours per month of unfilled patrol shifts. And it sounds like since we have ABA, there's no intention to fill or ensure that unfilled patrol shifts are filled. I just have two other points. So that's kind of thing one is confirming those numbers. Number two, I heard something about LIDAR, and I'm not in law enforcement, but when I've heard that term used before, and maybe I joined in a little bit late, but my understanding is that's for the radar guns. And if that's the case, I'm just wondering, we intend to train patrol officers for LIDAR and allocate that cost to the training budget, which I assume comes out of the security budget. But I'm just wondering, why are we paying to train our patrol officers to enforce RMA CCNRs? Why wouldn't RMA be charged for that? And then my final question and comment is with respect to the issue on November 11th. And I given Kelly's law enforcement background, I would appreciate his insight on that. Having been out here and having interfaced with law enforcement officers and security officers, they consistently leave the vehicles running. And the reason is not because they're lazy at all. It's simply because, in my understanding, was that it causes an issue with the computer systems in the car. And so it makes it easier for them, and there's less of a likelihood of those computer systems losing battery if the car is left running. And my understanding, although it's limited because I haven't been in law enforcement, is that it's very routine just to get a second set of keys and you can lock the car. So I just would hope that, you know, number one, it's been a practice of leaving the vehicles running, and they've been trained to leave the vehicles running. And even since this current board was in place, they've left the vehicles running. So I would just hope that you know, if you intend to change that, and if there is a written policy, I'm hoping that it's on the website so that all of us can view it. But I wouldn't say that it made no sense to leave the vehicle running. If that's how they're trained to do it, I'd say get them a second set of keys. But rather than approaching this as being something, you know, embarrassing or something that officer did wrong, I would say let's approach it from a place of curiosity. And hey, why do security officers do this? Why do law enforcement officers do that? So just to kind of reiterate, I wanted to confirm the patrol numbers at 434 hours and ensure that, or confirm that there's no plan to ensure that we have full-time patrol. Number two, the question about LIDAR and basically charging RMA for that service. And then number three, with respect to the policy concerning the November 11th issue.
Thank you very much for your comments, Crystal.
Thank you, Kelly. I'll take the first two
okay.
items. The board of directors, and I apologize, I don't know exactly what month it was, but direction was given that there would be no backfill for patrol services due to the funding issue. And that was carried over from the inability to secure a increased budget. With that being said, the 435 is accurate. There is no overtime for patrol services. Currently, there is overtime allowed for gate operations. That's the priority. It'll continue to stay that way until the board gets a fiscal update, mid-year fiscal review from the Poon Group, anticipating January February, at least the first quarter of the calendar year, and then decisions can be made. What are the actuals to budget? Again, not using the property tax to supplement security services. So those numbers are correct that Kelly's provided. As far as the LADAR, I don't remember any dialogue in this meeting between Kelly speaking or myself speaking that said we would be paying for the training, those types of things. I believe the thought process was, and I could be wrong, and I don't want to speak for Kelly, was to move forward with the training, and we're going to work with the association to figure that out. At no point was a district obligated for the cost of the training. As far as the November 11th, I think you're on the right path of what does an MDT, or in many cases now an MDC, mobile data computer, what is the drain on the actual motor itself and the electrical components thereof? Our MDTs or MDCs are not as robust as what law enforcement has. And the requirements of law enforcement access to their vehicles on an incident versus something like what was described, I think Kelly is correct. If the policy states that's what it is, then it's pretty clear cut. The disappointing thing is we have somebody in the community, and I don't know where the person came from, but felt it was okay to do this and move on with life. So I'm a little lost to explain it, but if Kelly wants to spend just a little bit of time on the policy portion, that's fine.
Yeah, a couple things, Tim. Yeah, yes, I believe I said Chris from RMA, he would be sent to school to be an instructor, and then he would instruct us all. There's no cost for us. I mean, the RMA is sending him to the school, then he comes back and teaches us. I don't think he's going to charge CSD to enforce their rules. There's no...
Yeah, and I understood it as that as well.
Okay, so I'll make that clear. As far as November 11th incident, yes, they are issued two sets of keys. So yes, an officer could go to a call and keep his vehicle in his visual range, if you will, because they do have set two sets of keys. They could lock one in and keep it on and go out and talk to someone and come back. Why this wasn't done, I don't know. But our policy is clear. You're supposed to take out the car and take it out the car and lock the door. When anytime it kind of goes into common sense too. If you're going to leave your car running with no keys in it, lights on, and walk away from your vehicle and lose sight of it for 10, 15 minutes, that's problematic. Despite our policy, I don't know any law enforcement officer that would leave their car running, keys in it, and walk away with it out of sight. You know, whether you're law enforcement security, at least that's my experience, you wouldn't do that. As far as the policy, yes, it is. It's in our operations manual. When you leave your car, you lock the door. You know, we can do a little common sense with it here. If a vehicle's running and they're on the scene of an accident and they see and can respond to their vehicle and they leave it running, I don't think we would have an issue with that. But when you lose visual sight and you're gone for a long time and you're leaving it running and you're not even behind the gates, this is what can happen. So that's all I have to say. If there's any questions with that. Okay. And I think we answered all four, Tim.
Okay. Thank you. Amelia, any other hands?
I have no other hands raised.
Okay. Continue on, please.
And if there's no other questions, that concludes my part.
Okay. Amelia, would you bring up the, there you go, the agenda and scroll down for me?
That one.
Okay. I have a couple of items that I just want to throw out there. Kelly, to you and your staff for Thanksgiving. I saw the extra services to get people through the gate It's usually Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Mother's Day that we see the backlog at the gate. And so please thank the staff, A, working the holiday and then going the extra mile of not having the backlog. And to that point, I know that last month we had a pretty big tournament out in Rancho Murrieta Country Club. And again, they provided somebody. In the past, we've had inappropriate responses on social media because they missed a tournament and we had backlog. Again, this was one of those that the system worked, nobody knew about it. And so, but again, thank you for doing the liaison work with the country club from that standpoint. I think as we move forward and you heard from the individual that was questioning the number of hours missing in patrol services, you and I'll have more dialogue as we move forward. But that modified patrol schedule is what it is. That's the direction of the board. The community has spoken. And so I don't really see anything changing from that standpoint in the short term. The other is, as far as the new vehicle, I get the supply chain, but it also becomes a timely issue with the VIP, which is volunteers and policing through the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department. If that program is going to start to spin up again, that puts a need to get that pickup truck we've been using for the last couple of years back to that program. And then the other component then is where the VIP program musters puts an emphasis on us getting that security trailer facility up to speed because it's outside agencies, if you will, using our services or our facilities from that standpoint. So those two items kind of tie in the vehicle and getting that repair done to assist the VIP program that's going to start up.
And Tim, I have to say, yes, they have a VIP person that they told me that was in their academy. They've graduated their academy. They're now, I think, in their South division or section and training, but they don't have an exact time when they'll come over here, but they did already ask about the vehicle. So I'm anticipating sometime the first quarter of next year, but they won't give me a specific date. The sheriffs came out here. They looked at our door. They're going to change and put the current sheriff's door out there. So they're definitely showing signs of picking up here soon.
Perfect. And again, you know, that's that part where bringing the pickup truck, restriping it or rebranding it to our vehicle because we purchased it was a good economic move all the way around. So I have no qualms with that. It's just obviously we've got to move forward. And then the as it turns out to be a poor decision on the type of vehicles that we've been using because the durability of them, you know, we have to move that portion of the fleet completely off the books from the district as soon as practical. So I'm good with that from that standpoint. With that said, I would like to personally thank you, Kelly, the professionalism that you bring, the expectation that you've brought to the organization is clear. It's demonstrated. I get that you're thrown into the lion's den on a lot of issues. And for that, I apologize. It should stay at the board level. But I think as we move forward as an organization, the professionalism that you're instilling is going to pay dividends as we've seen it have this, especially this last calendar year on the camera programs, how valuable they are, how they've solved and assisted actual law enforcement. And as you've stated numerous times, our role is one of support to law enforcement. And you've made that very clear and you've been very consistent and effective in making that happen. So on behalf of the board and myself professionally, thank you for that. And if you would pass that to your staff as well, because I think as we move forward, there's still some uncertainties, but we know there's going to be some consistencies, and we just have to figure out the difference between the two.
Amelia, thank you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Understood. And thank you.
Okay. Amelia, any other hands, comments?
No other hands, no other comments.
All right. Please, everyone, have a blessed Christmas to you and your families. Amelia, as always, thank you and appreciate everybody's patience on the technological issues of the knucklehead board member. Have a good day.
Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.